Well, at this time, we just want to give a special shout out and a welcome to Bobby and Mickey Scott, who are here with us this morning. We're so excited. And if you didn't know, Bobby is Pastor Barbara and Calvin's son, and Mickey is their daughter-in-law. And we're really happy to have you guys here. Thank you for being here. And at this time, I'm going to open it up to Bobby. All right. I wasn't sure which one, but...
Thank you. Praise God. It's such a joy and blessing and privilege to be here. I think it's been about 5 years since I've preached for you guys. It's been too long. Sometimes life just takes you on different roads and God leads you and you have to follow, right? Nina was talking about giving, and I just started remembering when she was a little girl and first came to town here with her mother, Rosie, and Sonia, her sister. And Rosie was recently single, and they moved here from Las Vegas, Nevada, to Douglas, to Rosie's hometown. And Rosie was starting over, and Rosie had a very limited income and just had a little bit to get by with every month. And I remember my parents were working full-time missionaries in Mexico, and Mickey and I were here as the lead pastors. And I remember every time Rosie got that check in the mail, she would go straight to the bank, and it didn't matter what day of the month that she had her monthly income come in. She went to the bank, she cashed it, and she immediately brought the tithe and put it in our hands. And then we would put it into the church and run it through the books and so on. And she was very faithful as a single, struggling, starting over from scratch mother. She was faithful to give her tithe. And little, it's just awesome. Little did she know that, I mean, the ramifications of that are so huge. Because, well, God's provided for her. God has provided for her daughters. But I think there was a spiritual significance in that she was planting seed in this community. Just give me a minute. Little did she know that she was raising up a young lady that would later marry Mitch, and they would become spiritual fathers to so many young people in this community. So I said that to say that I believe in the tithe, and regardless if you're rich or poor, if you're struggling or if everything's good, the tithe belongs to the Lord. And Rosie knew that. And she faithfully brought her tithe to the Lord. And when I was 11 years old and I began mowing lawns, at the time my parents were not in a local church. And for various reasons, they didn't go to church. But I started making money, $3 an hour, pushed my lawnmower all over town, mowing lawns and for little grandmas and people like that. And I'd get $3 an hour. And my first summer, I made $200. And my next summer, I made $400. And the next summer, I made $800. And my business kept growing. Right now, I'm still mowing lawns, but now I make $500,000 a year. It's not all in my pocket, but that's the money that goes through my hands. But at that age 11, when I brought home my first 10 bucks or whatever I made, I would mow a lawn for Mrs. Bullard for $10 a month. And I bought a lawnmower that my dad loaned me $50 to buy so I could mow Mrs. Bullard's yard for $10 a week mowing. And I built my business. But I brought my money home, and my dad said, Bob, you need to tithe. And a tithe is 10% of your income. And that part belongs to the Lord. And then the rest, you do with what you want. And I'm thinking new cowboy boots. And I mean, I was so happy because we were pretty poor in those days. And and so Dad said, oh, I'm like, well, where should I give my tithe? And Dad said, well, we're not in a church right now. So I would just recommend that you give it to your grandpa who is pastoring his church. And so faithfully for years until my parents got involved in a local church, for years until that time, I faithfully gave my tithe to my pastor grandpa. And then when we got involved in a local church as a an older teenager, then I began to give my tithe to my local church. And my grandmother is here, and she and her husband, my other grandpa, they believed in tithing. And I know you've heard these stories, so I won't tell them, but God blessed them richly and abundantly. And then there's a blessing that's on their children and on their children's children because of their faithfulness to give their tithe. And one of the ways, I believe the very best way that you can change your family tree and change your legacy is to begin to tithe. It will change your life. And it does. It's the redemptive factor of your finances. And it'll change your life. And you may not see a lot of that in your personal life, but it'll change your children's heritage and your grandchildren. And it'll affect the generations beyond you because of the things you set in motion in your family tree through your tithe. And I believe that, and I've seen it firsthand. It works. It works. It works. It works. That was all for free. It wasn't in my notes. So Genesis chapter 1. Lord, I thank you for this privilege today to preach to this precious church, to these people, our spiritual family. And Lord, I just ask you for words from heaven for your body in Jesus' name. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, 28. I have new glasses. I've never preached with glasses before, so I'm still learning how to see what, because they're bifocals, and I'm like, I don't know how to do this yet. Bifocals. Little young Bobby wearing bifocals. I'm not so young anymore. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That's a sermon in itself, Melon. And then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and basically over all of creation. So God's purpose from the beginning was for mankind to have dominion in the earth, fill the earth, subdue the earth, own the earth, and manage the earth well. And take good care of her, and because she'll take care of you, and multiply and use the resources that the earth provides, and multiply those for your blessing. That was all God's plan from the beginning, and from the beginning, God had a legacy that He wanted laid out, and He wanted mankind to build His kingdom in the earth, and to do some things that were very significant. It's God didn't just put men in the earth and say, well, have fun. He said, no, I'm putting this in your hands, and I want you to manage it well. I want you to manage your world well. And God puts things in your hands and in my hands, and He says, I want you to manage it well. We've all heard the story of the guys with the talents. God gave one guy 10, another guy 5, another guy 1, whatever, and God expected them to take them and put them to work and multiply them. And that's what God expects of us, to take the resources he gives us and multiply us. And I think a lot about legacy. I think about legacy is very important to me because I know my legacy. Legacy is so important to me. My son and I, we built a business, and we call it Legacy Landscape. And we, even in that realm of our life, we want to leave a legacy in the marketplace where people, they remember us. They know who we are. And every time we do business, so we think we're leaving a legacy. People are going to remember how we did business, how we treated them, the service we provided. And so that legacy is very important to us, so the history that we leave behind us and the future that we build. And that's what legacy is all about. And God, that was what God was all about. And he wanted us to leave a legacy for our children and our children's children. He wanted us to leave a legacy in our community. He wanted us to leave a legacy in the people that he put within our sphere of influence. And every one of you have a sphere of influence. You have people that you have influence with. And God wants you to influence them for his kingdom. And he wants you to influence them for good. And I was just thinking about legacy. My grandparents are, they all served the Lord. They feared the Lord. And I think I'm the fourth generation preacher, if I understand correctly, in my family. And yet I have a legacy on two sides. I have one grandfather that was a preacher, and one grandfather who was a businessman. And for whatever reason, God has put both of those mantles on me. And it's God's asked me to work in both of those areas. You don't see that a lot. Usually you see either your kings or your priests, you see either your businessmen or your preachers, and they're both, in my opinion, they're both of equal importance to the kingdom of God. So if you're in business, or if you work in the marketplace in some way or another, if you're a school teacher, whatever you do in secular work, it's not secular. It's just as holy as this pulpit. And you have a ministry there, and you have influence there, and you need to treat it as your ministry to God. In fact, Paul told the Philippians, he said, when you work, or the Colossians, he said, when you work, do everything you do in the name of Jesus, he said. And he wasn't talking about them going into the streets and preaching or standing behind a pulpit and preaching. He's talking about everyday life. Everything you do, I want you to do in the name of Jesus. And so I thought about that. And legacy and heritage, you say, well, you don't know my family. How could I have a legacy? How could I leave a heritage that would change the world? And I don't know your family, but I've seen some families and what God's done. About in 1990, what is that, 28 years ago, 28 and a half years ago, a young, I suppose, at least very close to alcoholic, drug addicted, young man, I don't know if he was fully addicted or whatever, but major party animal in Douglas, came to Faith Ministries Church. His name was Ruben Serrato. And I mean, Lord. Yeah, he had some stuff in his life. And his family had some stuff in his life. I won't tell you the things I know about Ruben. That's none of my business to tell you, but he can tell it when he testifies or preaches and give glory to God with his testimony. But, I mean, he had some stuff in his life that he had to get through. And he had some things in the generations of his family that would try to hold on to him that he had to break loose from. And not just his family, but the friends and the relationships he had would pull him down and so on. And you think, well, what can God do with that? And then I thought of the two young people that he raised up to serve Jesus, and how he changed his family tree. And that, I mean, they're impacting the world. They impacted their high school when they were there, and now they're doing other things for Jesus. Reuben changed his legacy and his family tree and their legacy. Not only that, but Reuben went into Mexico and planted a church that's still there and thriving today. And he left a legacy. And so you can't tell me that God can't take what your life is and break away the things that don't please him and build your life into something beautiful that gives him honor and that will bless your children and your children's children. If you will seek the Lord and you'll determine, I'm going to serve Jesus. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. God can do that. I already told the story about Rosie, how, you know, she was just a young single mom, but she raised a lovely daughter who became a spiritual powerhouse and spiritual mother in this town. And so, regardless of your present circumstance, if you will apply the Word of God to your life and be a doer of that Word of God, there's no telling the influence that you can have. Our son Tim, you knew him as little Timothy if you were in the church back in the day. Little rascal. He's all grown up now. He's my business partner. I have one son, Nathan, our youngest. He's called to ministry. And our older son, Tim, he's called to business. And he loves business. But Tim married a young lady named Jackie. And hopefully you can meet her someday. She's just lovely. And we were out to dinner the other night before we came here. And we were talking. And Jackie said, well, yeah, my great-great-great-grandpa was the founder of such and such a Bible school. And it's one of the biggest Bible schools. It's in Waxahachie, Texas. It's one of the biggest schools of the Assemblies of God denomination. And we found out that her grandfather was P.C. Nelson. And P.C. Nelson was a preacher. If you can Google it, there's the Nelson Study Bible. And who knows, you guys may be cousins, don't even know it. But we found out. And P.C. Nelson, he had a great passion to be a missionary and go to the ends of the earth and preach the gospel. We found out when she found out that what her grandfather was all about, her great-great-great-grandfather, whatever, she was actually on the mission field preaching the gospel in the nation of Nepal. And this man lived in the 1800s and had a passion for missions, and he obeyed God with his life, and little did he know that his great-great-great-granddaughter would marry a businessman, but then the businessman would send his wife to the nations to preach the gospel. She's going to India next month to preach in these great huge crusades, and tens of thousands of people will get saved, and it's just God will move, but he started the story. I was reading his story just this morning as I was thinking about it. He started out as a poor family that immigrated from Denmark to the United States. They were immigrants and they were very poor. They immigrated here to escape persecution and prison for serving God. And then when they moved here and they were farmers, they were farm workers, and his dad died in a farm accident at the age of 11. And so it all looked like his family was just your normal immigrant family that works on the farms, and dad died early, and we'll probably just always be poor, and we'll probably just never make much of a difference. But God got a hold of his life, and he took a hold of God, and he changed his legacy. And now the Assemblies of God denomination is all over the globe, and people all over the world preaching the gospel through that denomination where he built their Bible school. And his daughter's preaching the gospel in the nations. I mean, his great-great-great-granddaughter. And he changed his legacy. And so I was thinking about that. Actually, the title of this message is called A Transcendent Cause. And when that term came to me, transcendent cause, I thought, what's that? That's a big word. I don't know what transcendent means. I'm not all that well educated like my sister, who's here somewhere. So I text my son, and what's transcendent mean? My youngest son, he's smart like that. He texts me back, tells me what it means. But I had to look in the dictionary, and it's basically transcendent means heroic. A transcendent cause is this. It's truly heroic, a noble endeavor calling forth bravery and sacrifice. and it's timeless. It contains significance beyond the moment, and it's supremely meaningful, and it pulsates with meaning. And so what I want to encourage you today for you to contend for in your life, and when you think about your children and your grandchildren and the generations behind beyond you, I want you to think about this. Let's have a family tree that is heroic, that we do crazy stuff for God and we change the world. Let's be a family tree that is noble. In other words, we care about people. And every one of us have that capacity to care about people. Really, that's why you live. Remember, we had moved to Douglas in 1987 and 88, something like that, 87. My dad went across the line to help a pastor, Pastor Jose Luis, and help him with some things. And dad got home late that night, and he came and he told my mom, he said, I spent all day today with a family that had just lost a loved one. And he told this big, long story, but he said, today I found out why I'm alive. And I remember that moment when my dad said, I found out today why I'm alive. And he was in his 40s, I think. Were you that old yet? 37, he's in his 30s. And he found out, now he could tell his own story and be more detailed about it, but my interpretation of it is, he found out that he was born to care for people. He was born to love people with the love of God. And really, when it comes down to it, that's all of our purpose. That's why you were born. That's why I was born, to care for people, to love people with the love of God. That's why we exist. That's why our heart beats. That's why there's breath in our lungs. It's so we can care about people and love people. And if that ever stops, then we have no reason to take up space on this earth. Our purpose is to love people. Our purpose is to help people. And so our family tree and the way we raise our children should be to raise them to be heroic and endeavor to love people and to sacrifice. And when we think about our family and our children, we need to have the mentality that this is timeless. You know, I may not live forever, but my children come after me. And so the things I do and the decisions I make and the way I affect this world, it really does matter to the big picture of humanity. And it's so very important that I raise my family and my children with that mindset. It's timeless. You know, my children, I talk to my children, and you know what I find out about my children? I have some influence in their life, but that lady right there is the voice that rings in their head. And everything that stirs them to do what's good and right, it's because they're thinking about mama, what she told them as a child, and how she prayed with them. And she's, if you know Mickey, she's very tenacious. She's all there. She's very strong. And it was good for my boys because she gave them conviction. I'm just kind of the, like, you know, sometimes I'm like Adam. I'm kind of like sit back and see if the devil can, you know, steal my garden or whatever. But Mickey was always the tenacious warrior. No, you're not going to come in my house, you ugly devil. And and so she was very important to raising our kids. And now I could tell my story too, and there's things that I did or ways I lived or attitudes I have that have also affected them. But she's the voice. She had the mentality that this thing's timeless. And I better raise these kids right, or at least do my part in this. And she did. She did a great job. And so a transcendent cause is something that has significance beyond the moment. You know, what you do today affects your tomorrow. But it's bigger than that. It affects the world. Because everything you do is like that drop of water that creates a ripple effect. And the more it extends, the bigger it gets. And that ripple never stops. And so your actions, and when you stop and give that $100 to that guy, and you don't know why, but you just do it because you obey God, that's going to have a ripple effect that is going to, it won't stop. That will continue to move and grow and increase until it encompasses the world. And one way or another, that seed that you planted will reach into eternity. And that's how important your moment right now is, and your life is, and your decisions are that important. You say, well, I've made a lot of bad decisions. Well, you can change that. You can start making good decisions. And the Bible teaches us that you can overcome evil with good. And so you may regret some things you've done, but just start doing more good. And the good is going to overcome the evil, and pretty soon, see, the good ripples move faster than the bad ripples. And those good ripples, they're going to overcome the evil. And so keep doing good, and it's going to push out there. It's going to change your family tree. It's going to change your heritage and your legacy. There's a quote that William Damon, he was a professor at Brown University, and he said this: when we teach children to concern themselves first and foremost with their own sense of self, we not only encourage self-centeredness, but also we fail to present a more inspiring and developmentally constructive alternative. That they should concern themselves about things beyond the self and above the self. We fail, that is, to convey to them a sense that there are other important things in life beyond their own individual circumstances and feelings. So when we're raising our children and our grandchildren, maybe you're already past raising your children, but you find your grandchildren all around you. And then you have that sense of, well, we'll teach them that it's not about them. It's not about this is your candy. It's not about this is your toy. It's about loving others, serving others. My son Tim, he loved Hot Wheels when he was little. He ended up having hundreds of Hot Wheels and just loved them and very selfish with them. And then he was about 5 years old, and I took him into Mexico with me, and we did children's ministry there for a number of days, and we came home, and Tim went straight to his toy box and began to give away all his toys, because he had been to a place where people, he didn't have buckets full of toys, and he realized, it's not about me, it's about all those other little children down there in Navajoa that don't have a Hot Wheels. I think they'd like to have one next time I go down. And then everything changed because we introduced him to missions and giving of his life to others. And you may not go to another nation, but you can do that right here. You can help with the fall carnival. And give a child a hug or a piece of candy or a gift or a prize or whatever, and minister to them in that way, because it's not about you. It's about that child that's going to come through that door, and they and their mama and their daddy and their grandparents and their cousins and their sisters and brothers, they need Jesus. They need hope. They need help. They need healing. And so that's why we volunteer in church and give our time. It's because we love people. It's because we serve a transcendent cause. It's a cause that's bigger than ourselves. We want to live outside of ourselves, and we want to give our lives to something that's bigger than ourselves. Some questions. I like to talk about raising kids. Didn't do a perfect job, but somehow my kids still love Jesus, and So the things Mickey and I did learn, we love to share. Here's one. We invest in the marketplace competence, but not moral conviction. In other words, you could teach your children to be a great business person that takes advantage of people and undermines and lies and cheats, and they could get wealthy that way. Or you could teach your children that it's more important to have moral conviction than, or do a good job and care about your client, than it is to make more money. And the world can't teach that. The world won't teach that to your children. That's something that you have to do. Something that you have to do under your roof. Your children might be lucky enough to have some mentor that would teach them that, but probably not. It's probably up to you. Don't leave it to other people to teach your children morality and integrity, to do what's right. We help our children to become socially successful, but not spiritually significant. We teach our children, we'll be popular and fit in, but no. We want to teach our children to be the president of Bible clubs, right? And do things that impact our community and our world in the spirit. It's okay, son or daughter, if you have friends, but it's more important that they know that you know Jesus. When I was in high school at the age of 16, I surrendered my life to the Lord and in a higher way than I had before as a child. And I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I spoke with other tongues, and my life was changed. And up until that time, my high school experience was all about the friends I could have. I wanted to hang out with the coolest kids who had the money and the cars, And even though I didn't have all that great of stuff, I wanted to be with the cool kids. And I think high school may be a little different now, but back then it was very, very, very social. I mean, it was about who you knew and not what you knew. And when I gave my life to Jesus, I found out that all these kids I wanted to be close to, they didn't like Jesus. And they didn't want anything to do with them. And then on top of that, I had the outcasts, the kids that everybody made fun of and nobody wanted anything to do, they wanted to be my friend. And God began to teach me that it's not about how cool you are or what people think about you. It's about the impact that you can have in those people's lives that God puts around you. And I had friends that came out of Satan worship and witchcraft and all this stuff, and God moved and He used me in high school, and my parents, they taught me that, because in my high school years they began to serve God in that way, and it was about our family having spiritual significance in other people's lives. And my parents would open their house, and dozens of teenagers would come over, and my mom and my dad, they taught us to pray. And they taught us to believe God, and we had miracles. We had a friend of mine, we were playing Smear the Queer before that was a politically incorrect term. You can't say that now. So. And we're playing Smear the Person with the Football, and we broke my friend's leg. And he's screaming and writhing in pain, and we all just pounced on him, started praying in other tongues, and in a minute he got up, started limping, and he limped out of it, and he was healed. And so my parents taught us those things, how to believe God for those things, and how to be radical and impact the world for Jesus. Another time, Clay was dying in the hospital. He had these convulsions, and doctors didn't know what was wrong with him, and his whole youth group, we ended up at the hospital, and Dad was the youth pastor, and we ended up at the hospital, and Dad says, Bob, I want you to read this scripture, and Jonas, you read this scripture, and Lisa, you read that scripture, and Becky, I don't know if Becky was there, read this scripture. We all were in the chapel of the hospital in Sierra Vista, and we all started reading healing scriptures, just teenagers, and the next thing you know, somebody comes in the in the chapel, and they said, the doctors didn't know how, but somehow clay's coming out of it. So, and they told us, they said, keep doing what you're doing because it's working. And so my parents taught us that being spiritually significant was important. We want to teach our children. It's about what you can do in this world spiritually. Teach your children to put their hands on sick people and declare healing in the name of Jesus. I have these pastor friends, and they told this story about the mom was with her little toddler at the grocery store. The toddler's sitting in the basket like they do, and they're going through the store. And the little girl, she looks at this man, and she says, get off of him in Jesus' name. Just little bitty girl in the basket. And the mom's like, baby, quiet. Well, mommy, I saw a demon on that guy's shoulder, and when I said that, the demon ran out of the store. She taught her child to serve Jesus. Right? The child had spiritual. There's so much. I know this is not really the line upon sermon. I've got 3 days of teaching here, but almost done, or I'll quit pretty soon. But we want to teach our children to be truly heroic, and in other words, be willing to sacrifice their lives for others. You know, my parents taught me that it was okay with my white skin to go into the mountains of Mexico and look down the barrel of guns and even have my children with me in those places and preach the gospel. And my parents taught me it was okay to do that, so that's what I've always done. Right? And my children aren't afraid to go places. My Nathan, he's 19 now, but when he was 12, he came to me and said, Dad, I want to go to China and preach the gospel. I said, okay, great. Well, in about 5-6 years, you can go. And he goes, Dad, God told me to go to China. And I'm like, oh, cool. I said, well, okay, great. Well, you know, 5-6 years from now, you'll be ready. And he said, no, God told me to go this year. He was 12. 12. So I said, God, I'm not even going to involve myself in this. This is between you and Nathan. And I said, if you want Nathan to go to China this year and preach the gospel, you are going to provide for Nathan to go to China. $3,500 that we didn't have. Now, Mom involved herself. She started baking bread and selling it, stuff like that, because mothers are like that. They're supportive. But not me. I'm like, you and God, buddy. Because I could just see my child with some Chinese officer holding his gun to his head in a dungeon or whatever. So Nathan, God provided, and Nathan and Jesus went to China when Nathan was 12 years old and smuggled Bibles illegally into China. And he shared the gospel. He led this kid to Christ. And, I mean, he did it. Now, I never told him he couldn't do it. I had told him, son, you were born to preach the gospel in all the world. And we did that all over Mexico. So to him, it was not foreign to go foreign, because that's how we raised him. And right now, Nathan, God's using him, and he has influence in hundreds of kids' lives through youth ministry, where he's going to college and so on. But we taught our children to live outside of themselves, to live for something greater. And we didn't always have money. We didn't always have riches. We didn't always have nice vehicles or whatever, but true riches. And just this morning, I was sitting on my dad's porch and just talking to the Lord, and I was thinking about Tim and I and our business and the people that we work for, and we have a lot of employees and so on, and I was thinking about some of the multimillionaires that we work for. And And they live in the city in these nice houses. But I was looking around my dad and his acres and his tractors and his place. And I just thought, you know, my dad is, and I had one person in mind specifically that's very wealthy that we work for. And I thought, and this thought, the Holy Spirit brought this thought to me. Your dad is so much richer than him. So much wealthier than him. It's legacy. And so it's not about how much you can do for yourself or how much you can build for yourself or how much you can acquire for yourself. But, you know, that man and that woman, they've always lived to love and serve other people. They love people so much. All they can talk about when we're at their house is you guys. And they love you with all their heart. And they'll talk a little bit about their kids or grandkids, but they talk more about their church than anything else. And they love you. And so they taught us to love people and to serve people and give their life for people. And so we teach our children that. And when we have grandchildren, we're going to teach our grandchildren that. And you can do the same. You can do the same. You have influence with someone. If you don't, make friends with your neighbor and start changing the world. Start living for a transcendent cause. In other words, a cause for something that's outside of yourself and outside of your own little world. And say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve Jesus. And we're going to help people. And we're going to love humanity. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. We just, sometimes it just takes this little bitty adjustment in your mindset. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I can change that. Start thinking out there. I can, oh, yeah. This nice car I have, yeah, I can do that. I can use it for the church when someone needs a ride, or if Nina needs me to run to Walmart for something for the event, or to Sierra Vista or whatever. Or, oh yeah, I do have an hour I can give. Or, yeah, I have that time I can go pray with the ladies at church. Or maybe some of you men can say, yeah, we've got skills, we've got tools. Let's go help that widow with her leaky roof. And start living outside of yourselves. The last church we pastored, we did a program called Church Inside Out. And once a quarter, we would go outside. We wouldn't have a Sunday morning church service. We would go and serve the community. We would help a widow or a single mom, or one day we opened our parking lot up and brought all any single moms or single ladies or widows or anything, ladies like that could come and bring their car, and we did a car clinic and we changed their oil and did whatever maintenance we could on their car and Church Inside Out. So men, there's something that you can do too. And Jesus said it like this, and I'll finish with this scripture, you've all heard it, but maybe not in the light of what I've just shared today. He said, lift up your eyes because the harvest is white and it's ready. And so, lift up your eyes. Most of us have our eyes like this, and we're just looking at ourselves or in the mirror. But Jesus says, lift up your eyes and look over there at those other people. They may smell funny, they may look funny, they may do things that aren't good, and they might even vote differently than you vote, but they're people that Jesus loves. And if Jesus loves them, I love them. And so lift up your eyes and look beyond yourself to those people out there that need hope, they need healing, they need love, and love them and serve them. And then take your child by the hand and say, look, mijo, look at those people out there. Let's go help them. Look at the viejita down the street. Let's take her some food. Or let's give her a ride to her doctor's appointment. Vámonos, mija. Vamos a limpiar la casa de esa mujer. Right? And let's change the world. Let's live transcendent, outside of ourselves, for a noble cause, and live sacrificially. And you can do that in any realm that God has you in. I sacrifice. I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I work until 6 or 7 at night, if not in the ministry, in my business, so that I can provide a paycheck for the men that work for me from 8 to 5. But I'd rather sacrifice and live outside of myself and help them have a job than go get a job for minimum wage somewhere. Right? Because for me, it's not about the money. It's about how much can we do for people. And you can apply that to whatever realm of life you're influential in. All right, I could just talk forever. I know that wasn't the fire sermon that maybe you thought you might get today, but fire will be back next week. Same place, same time. But let's stand. I just want to invite you today to pray with your own words, but pray this prayer. God, help me to live outside of myself. Help me to see the need around me. Help me to love people like you love them. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank you so much, Father, for this congregation. I thank you, Father, for the plans and the purposes that you have for every one of the individuals that are here today. And Lord, I ask you to help us to lift up our eyes and look outside of ourselves and see the need around us and begin to love people. Lord, help us to love people like you love them, as much as you love them. For this cause, the Son of God came into the earth to destroy the works of the devil. Lord, help us to live with that kind of mentality. That's why we're here. We're here to change the world. We're here to go about doing good and healing all of the oppressed of the devil, because God is with us. Help us to be followers of Jesus, imitators of Jesus. Help us to love people as much as Jesus loves people and serve people, even if it costs us our life. Help us to live with this in mind. Like the Apostle Paul said, it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live, I now live by faith in the Son of God. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. It's no longer my house and my car and my things and my bank accounts and my stuff and my time, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live, I now live by faith in the Son of God, who gave himself for me. And so, Father, I declare blessing over this congregation in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that everything they touch prospers. I pray, Father, that they're able to help more people, that they're able to have more influence, that they're able to bring more healing into broken hearts and broken lives, that they're able to bring more deliverance and break more chains and bring more freedom and bring more life of God into this community and into the world, Father. Strengthen this church and strengthen these people. And use them and those that thought they would never do anything significant, begin to give them vision. Open the eyes of their understanding so that they can see the hope of your calling in their life, Father. God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I don't know how to finish this. Do you have something, sweetie? I knew Mickey or Dad one would have something.
This is good and interesting. At the end of praise and worship, when we're singing, "Your praise will forever be on my lips," and I felt like the Lord impressed upon me some saying, "Well, I can praise the Lord, but and He is good to me, but it's really hard to give Him praise because of the things that others, the way that they've hurt me, the way that." I feel like they've betrayed me, that they've just hurt on the inside. And Bob talking about the call of God on everybody's life, and you have something to give into changing the world into that transcendent cause. And talking, and even Nina brought up, I thought that was really interesting, about the widow's mite. And there's something about being able to move forward after you have settled some stuff in your past, stuff that has held you back, stuff that either mistakes that you've made for yourself or mistakes or hurts that have come against you from others toward you, settling those things in your past so that you can move forward. Well, in John, it says that the Word of God, Jesus, came to the earth and He was manifested in flesh in grace and truth. And truth is truth. There is black, there is white, there is right, there is wrong. It's always the same. But before He brought that line, He came in grace. Grace first. And grace is extending permission and understanding of failure and shortcoming. And when we talk about when the widow came and she gave her two mites, Jesus was watching and He saw. And so when we see areas that we failed, and it, in our mind, it's huge, and it wasn't enough or insignificant or maybe even a detriment to those around us. Jesus still saw the heart behind you. And some of we, you know, this is what I felt like. Some of you felt like, well, that's not for me. I don't have that. I didn't teach my children that way. I haven't changed that legacy for my grandkids. Or my parents didn't do that for me. So my life has kind of been, you know, snipped short because I didn't have that legacy above me. But I just kept feeling like the Lord was saying that before you can step into that place and the will that He has for you and that call and that determination of using you to impact those around you, that you needed to extend yourself the grace of God through you, but to you. Because nobody knows our own failures better than we ourselves. And it can be detrimental and it can be inhibiting. And it can stop you short from bringing your supply to what those around you need, to what the body of Christ around you need, because you know who you really are. You know what you really did. You know where you failed short. You know where you blew it. Well, welcome to the club. But the grace of God is not only, you know, toward you in just salvation in general, but you need to attach or connect to that grace for yourself, from yourself. And so that when you come into a place of worship and His praise ever being on your lips, yes, because even though you blew it that morning, you extend yourself grace because He extended you that grace, and then you're able to, without self-condemnation, step into that anointing and that place and that call of God on your life to do that transcendent cause and be all that God has called the body to be. So I don't know. I didn't see who, I didn't see details by the Spirit, but I know it was very real. So I don't know if the worship team's gonna lead you in a time of worship, but I would encourage you as a mom, you know, Bob says, yeah, Mickey was the voice. And I go, oh my God, I was the voice. You know, we see things different, though, our failures. We see what we feel like we didn't do good. But extend yourself grace. You're not Jesus. We are to contend and reach toward being like him, but we're not him. So give yourself grace. Take that next step up. Okay, Lord, I can leave that behind and I'll do better this next time. And you blow it. Okay, Lord, I thank you for your grace. I'm going to apply that to my own life for myself, and I'm going to take that next step forward, and I'm going to do better, and I'm going to keep growing, and I'm going to. So during worship, you lay that before the feet of Jesus. And where you see that you have fallen up short and you're not qualified and you're not adequate, oh, the grace of God is so much bigger than who we are in ourselves. Don't underestimate him. But don't be the one to stop him from completing that good work that he started in you. You have to work in cooperation with him. So during worship, I don't know whatever Mitch is going to do, that you make sure that you make that right between you and the Lord before you leave here today. And let that weight come off and the backs behind you, and then you're able to step forward with greater ease.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's just close our eyes where you're at. And let's take that time right now just to check yourself. And what you see in yourself, step forward from that. And let's move forward. Let's move forward from that. You have been forgiven. You have been cleansed by the blood. Today is a new day. Today is your day. Today is your day to go forward and to move forward. And to thank God for what he has done and what he's going to do in your life. And to praise him for what he's going to do in your life. And to praise him and give him glory for the power he has put in your life, the influence he has put around you, and to step forward into that position, into that influence, and into that meaning, and into that call on your life. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Bobby, Mickey, thank you for bringing the word. Thank you. And let's thank God. Thank you, Jesus, for what we have. For what we have been given. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's say that out loud. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's say it like we mean it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go out those doors out there and let's live a life with legacy. Let's live a life that has meaning that God has put in your life. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed day. God bless you all. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.